podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
A historic battleground is a very solemn place to visit. A number of years ago, a friend of mine flew in from Idaho to visit, and the purpose of his visit was to drive to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I can remember as we stood on that site and looked at the various memorials there and listened to the story of that battle that was being told, it was really hard not to get a lump in my throat as I heard about the men and women who spent time there. You know, there was this beautiful, quiet piece of pasture land like any other field where one might make hay or put their cattle out to graze. But what makes that serene farmland such a solemn place to visit today is what took place there for 3 days. 3 days in July of 1863, 150 years ago, tens of thousands of lives, very, very brave men and women from both the North and the South, and some very, very scared men and women from both the North and the South lost their lives and gave their lives for their cause. And as a result of that battle, history was altered. Families were devastated. Many bodies were broken. Many hearts were broken. And it was a terrible time in the history of our nation. And now, as you stand on that battleground in Gettysburg, you don't hear the sounds of cannons being fired, of warriors whooping and gunpowder exploding, but now all you hear is the birds chirping, and it's quiet, and the battle is over. But the battleground is still there, and the memory of what took place there is thick in the air. It still remains. Now, when the story of your life becomes history, and your battle is over, I wonder what the memorials will read that stand on the battleground of your life. Remember, there is a battle that is being fought today over your life. And we know that in the end, that God is going to win the war. In fact, He's already secured the victory in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That the war is already secure. But you see, Satan is not done interfering. And Satan is not done trying to drag us down and to keep us from being effective. And he would love for you to be ineffective, to be stunted in your growth. Satan would love for you to not be able to become all that you should be in the eyes of God, the warrior that you should be. He would love the Lord to be fought back in your life and not to have the influence that he deserves. So far in this series, we've looked at the battle for your mind, first of all. That while the Lord would have you to meditate on His Word and to inform yourself with His truth and to fill your mind with His beauty, the enemy likes to use this world. He likes to use the media and the culture of this world to infect your mind and to pull you away from the Lord and to get you thinking thoughts that just aren't true and to influence you for evil. To fill your mind with useless trash that won't help you at all in your battle. We also talked in this series about the battle for your heart. That once the enemy has a foothold in your mind, once the enemy has you brainwashed into thinking the way that the culture and the way that the world thinks, he begins to fight for control of your heart. And there is this deep-seated battle that's taking place over your emotions. And he attempts to influence you, to fill you with pride and self-importance. And then once he has your mind and your heart, he also fights, as we talked about last week, the battle for your will. He wants you to make decisions and to act in this world to do things that are contrary to what God would have you to do. The Lord desires for you to live your life according to his purposes, to do his will, to do his bidding, to glorify him, to sacrifice yourself for him and to do what he would have you to do. But the enemy wants you to make poor decisions based on a mind that's twisted and a heart that is impure and emotions that have gone out of control. And he gets you to crave sin. to become addicted to evil, and then to act in this life and to make decisions in this life that just shouldn't be made, to turn you away from the Lord. But God wants to be the Lord of your mind and your heart and your will. And this morning we're going to conclude this series by visiting another vital battleground, and that is your tongue. So let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and if you have your pew Bible this morning, it's on page 855. James chapter 3, and this morning I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. It says 3 to 11 in your bulletin, but let's read a few extra verses. Start with chapter 3 and verse 1 of the book of James. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So James illustrates for us in very picturesque, beautiful language, this battle that is taking place for our tongue. Let's put it this way, the Lord and the enemy are fighting a battle right now, an ongoing battle for your tongue, and your words decide the outcome of that battle. Now, who's winning? Look at the record of the battle that's taking place over your tongue and the decisions that you are making, the words that are coming forth from your mouth. Who's winning that battle this morning? There's some things we should know about the tongue, and James points them out for us. First of all, your tongue is small but powerful. Small but powerful. And James talks about the bit. It's a small piece of horse tack, just some metal that is placed into the mouth of the animal and then attached to some reins. And that particular piece of metal has a huge influence over this animal that can be very wild and undisciplined. If you want to turn the animal in the direction in which you want it to go, that bit can be very helpful. Even though it's just a small piece of metal, it has great power over that large animal. He also talks about a rudder, a small part on the back of a boat, but used properly, it can direct and guide the boat the way that the pilot wants to steer the boat. Even a large ship can be steered by a very small rudder and taken in the place where it needs to go. And you know, when someone is lost, sometimes we use the word rudderless. They seem rudderless in their life. There's no direction. There's no guidance. They don't seem headed anywhere. There's no pilot on that boat. The rudder is very small, but powerful. Powerful. And so James also talks about the spark. Just a tiny little glowing piece of ash that blows off of a fire, and it can land on dry brush and start a forest fire. Just one cigarette pushed out into the dry brush, thrown and discarded, can start a huge forest fire that consumes thousands and thousands of acres and does millions of dollars of damage and affects people's lives and takes men weeks and weeks to contain. Small, little spark, but very, very powerful. and devastating. The bit, the rudder, and the spark, all three are small, but very, very powerful. Now, James uses those pictures to draw us in and to say, look, your tongue, likewise, is a very small thing. It's a small part of your body, but very, very powerful. Imagine the power that your tongue and your words can have in this life. James says, first of all, that the tongue makes great boasts in verse 5. That the tongue has the ability to write checks that you will never be able to cash. That your tongue can make idle threats that you never even plan on following up with. That your tongue can say things that will start a war between you and another person. Just your words. And we make great boasts. And we say such wonderful things about ourselves that we know deep inside aren't true. They're lies. The tongue is small, but very powerful. James also says that this part of the body, the tongue, in verse 6, he says, it corrupts the whole person. You say, no, it's just one little part of the body, right? How can it have any influence over the whole person? Well, a few words out of your mouth can ruin your whole day, can't they? A few words out of the mouth of someone else can ruin your whole day, and they can even shake you for your entire life. Just a few words from someone's tongue. And James says, just like a small spark can light a whole forest on fire, so your tongue can set the whole course of your life on fire. Words that can stir up trouble, that can influence your whole life. In verses 7 and 8, James says that all kinds of animals have been tamed. You know, that people have pythons in their home and wild animals. And they become tame. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a part of our body that is out of control. Have you ever spoken words and wondered to yourself, now, where did that come from? Boy, that didn't sound like me. Have you ever said something that you wish immediately that you could pull back? Have you ever typed out some words as your Facebook status and hit enter and then thought to yourself, what am I doing? Everyone's going to read that. That's how powerful our words are. And yes, the Facebook and Twitter and email, any communication, even a letter that we write, whatever it is, the words that we speak, it's all a part of this same battle that's taking place with our tongue. And it's very, very difficult to control, James tells us. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, because Solomon knew this truth too. Look what he said about our words. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. So look, when you talk about people behind their back, whether it's true or false, you're doing it for hurtful reasons. It feels good to talk about other people because it makes us our troubles seem so small, you know? And what happens when we gossip is that the fire is, it just continues to burn. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what Solomon said is, look, if the gossip would just be quiet, then the fire would go out. But the tongue just keeps rattling along. And the gossip keeps being spread throughout the forest of this world. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. You know, quarrelsome person, just somebody who's angry and somebody who's out to hurt others and lash out and strike them. Well, it's like a charcoal to embers. And it's like gasoline poured on the flames, our words. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Do we realize how powerful our words can be when we talk about others and what's going on in their lives? Whether it's something that is meant to be quiet and a prayer request and to be helpful in their life, or whether it's something that we just say off the cuff, that gossip, because it's so tasty to the hearer, can go down into the innards of their life and become a part of who they are. And then that same gossip, it's just so juicy, it's so wonderful, that it has to come out again. Like a coating of silver dross on earthenware, our fervent lips with an evil heart. You know, sometimes you can buy 100% sterling silver, and sometimes you can buy thin electroplated, silver plated, and they look exactly alike, don't they? For a little while anyway, until you use them and the silver starts to wear off. This is like a coating of that silver on earthenware, our fervent lips with an evil heart. That if sometimes our lips can say wonderful things and make us look beautiful on the outside, but what's going on in the inside and taking place in our heart is something completely different. Eventually, our mouths will reveal and betray our hearts. It also says that enemies disguise themselves with their lips. They flatter, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their heart. Seven being the number of perfection and completion. That these are abominable people, but they can disguise themselves with their words. This is how powerful words are, according to Solomon and according to James. That our words are also, number two, a weapon for good and evil. Your tongue, this small little flap of flesh that God has put inside of your mouth, is a weapon for good and evil. Just like a bit can guide and direct a wild horse, and a rudder can direct a sailboat from wrecking and from hitting the rocks and being in danger, just like a spark can start a fire that can warm you and that you can cook over, so the tongue has the capacity for good. It can lead you, it can guide others and direct them. A tongue that is controlled by the Lord has the ability to do great things. Imagine the power of your tongue to teach others the truth, to comfort people when they're discouraged and hurting, when something horrible happens in their life, to shape them through your words and to love them, to praise the God, our God above, and to so others can hear you praising in those words, to pray and to speak to God, to uplift and to encourage, to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ with your words. Our tongue is a powerful force for good if God has control of it and uses it the way in which it should be used. Now, how many of you can remember a word that was spoken to you? Just some words spoken to you that directed your life. Can you remember the words that somebody spoke to you that healed your soul, that had an influence over who you are today, that you can point back to those words? I remember when someone told me, you're going to go far in this life. You have gifts. You have talents. I love you. And I know that you're going to go far, that you're going to succeed. I know that the Lord has His hand on you and is going to use you in a very special way. Words like those, words that we carry with us throughout our entire life, the capacity for good in these tongues is incredible. So God gave you this piece of flesh in your mouth, and if He is the Lord of your tongue will do His will. Your tongue will speak beautiful words that can change lives and that can heal people and bring glory to Him. And what a fine tool in the hands of God if we would just let Him have control. But the enemy, as we know, is in this battle, and he knows that if he can get control and win control over that piece of flesh that God has put in your mouth, that he can turn the battle in his direction. A tongue controlled by the enemy can be a very dangerous, devastating, and harmful thing. We can curse others. We can gossip and talk about them in harmful ways. We can slander, make up stories about others. We can slice them and dice them and lacerate them and hurt them. We can lie about them, and we can lie in order to try to improve our lives, and we can use flattery in order to try to manipulate somebody. We can be a chameleon, and our tongue can speak one word in one situation, another word in another situation. We can be at school, and our tongue can speak with the other students in school, and we can be so cool and on top of things and popular with our tongue, and we use the words that they use, and then we can come to church or youth group, and our tongue can be something completely different. We're talking about God and how much we love Him. And is that the same tongue that does both things? Is that the same tongue that speaks words in one situation and different words in another situation? Our tongue can start fights and can perpetuate those fights. Our tongue can discourage others and break their spirits. Now, how many of you can remember hurtful words that have been spoken to you at one time or another that still burn today? You will never amount to anything. You are dead to me. I hate you. I wish you weren't in my life. How many of you can remember words like those that were spoken maybe in just a fit of anger, and maybe they didn't even mean them, but they still sit in your heart and in your mind today and fester, and they influence you? That is the power of the tongue. Watch this video. Here are some guys who understand the power of words.
All right, I got it. She's gonna love it. Let's go.
Whoa, how'd you find a card so fast?
I am a speaker of lady language. I hear their voices in my head, much like Beethoven heard music.
No, I think those are just voices.
Either way, I've got a card, and you don't.
I'm trying to find one with the right words. I can't find one that really describes how I feel.
Here, this one.
This one. This is the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. I bought you this card because I had no money.
That is so you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not. It's not me.
What are you trying to say?
I need a card that says, I don't deserve you. I never have, and I never will. From the moment that I first saw you, I knew that I wanted to be with you, to know you, to understand you. I am humbled that you chose me. I have married out of my league, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't recognize that fact. And I've never taken our vows lightly. What do I say to the mother of my children, my best friend, my soulmate? I love you can just sound so cliche and trite, but it's the only words that I know. I love you. I mean, that would be a card, you know? That would be a card that I'd want to buy. What's the matter? What happened?
Don't look at me!
Okay.
Look away!
I have... What's the matter?
It's like I'm a swimming pool, and your words are like cannonballs landing! Pull yourself together, man! Attention, everybody! We are in the presence of a true wordsmith!
No, we're not.
Allow his words to be the wings on which your cards fly!
No. No.
I want what he's having!
Okay, we need to go. We need to go right now.
I've got an idea. We'll get those cards that are blank on the inside, and we'll write your words on them, and then we'll give them to our ladies. But we have to write in calligraphy.
I'm just going to take your card.
Wait. What was that part about the true soulmates? I need a pen. I gotta write this down. That stuff is gold! That'll give me a whole Sunday of football!
All right, so that illustrates the power of words, does it not? Does it not, and how we use them? And what the most amazing thing about the tongue is this, that the same tongue, and my tongue, I confess, included, can say such healing words, such wonderful words, can preach messages, can teach lessons, can recite the Bible. But but then can turn around 180 degrees and speak hurtful words in the same breath. Our words can be medicine, and our words can be poison and venom. And James in verse 10 says, praise and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers, this should not be. Brings us to number three. Your tongue is an indicator of your spiritual health. Your tongue is an indicator of your spiritual health. So you go to see the spiritual health doctor, and he would say, stick out your tongue, say, ah, let me look at your tongue. And by looking at your tongue, I can determine what your spiritual health is. James was writing to believers in Jesus Christ. James was writing to people who were already saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But James had very high hopes for the believers that he was writing to. And what he said to them was, look, my wish for you is that your good works, your life, will be a reflection to others of the true faith, the genuine faith that you have in Jesus Christ. James in this letter said, faith without works is dead. What good is faith if there's no works to back up that faith and to prove that faith? He said, you say that you believe in Jesus. Well, show me your belief in Jesus Christ by your life. Demonstrate that you truly have belief in Jesus Christ. And James is saying here that the tongue and the words that come out of our mouth are a dead giveaway about what's truly going on in our hearts. The way in which you use your tongue indicates what is going on deep inside of your life. So James here in this chapter says that fresh and salt water do not come from the same spring. Right? It's impossible. If it's a fresh spring, it will have fresh water. James also says that a fig tree does not grow olives. A grapevine can't grow figs. And in the same way, evil words don't come from a clean heart. Good words come from a good mind and a good heart. So your tongue itself cannot be blamed for the words it speaks. It truly only speaks from the depths of who you are. If your heart and your mind and your will are controlled by the enemy, then you should expect that your tongue is controlled by the enemy as well. Your tongue will follow. The words will just follow what is already taking place in your life. But if your heart and your mind are controlled by God and you are doing His will and He is the Lord of your life, then the tongue will follow. So, who is winning the battle for your tongue? Who is winning the battle for your tongue? Now, spiritual health is very hard to measure. You know, it's hard to measure spiritual health. It's hard to tell whether someone's growing in the Lord because we're so good at faking it. But one reliable measuring device is your tongue. Take a tape of every word you say in the course of the day. I know you're saying, man, that's going to take a long time. But just go back in your mind and think, through the last 24 hours, can you even remember half of the words that came out of your mouth? Now, some of you, I mean, that's a lot of words. That's going to take a long time for you to rehearse and think. For some of you, you might have said two or three words in the last 24 hours. There's no problem, right? But here's the deal. Think about all of the communication that came from you, whether it was through your words or through what you wrote or through what was going on at the office or in your family or whatever. Think of the communication that came out of your life. What were those words designed to do? Are your words designed to puff yourself up, to make yourself look good, to feel good about yourself, to defend yourself, to impress others with your personality or your intelligence? Is that what your words are designed to do? Are your words designed to tear others down? Do you talk negatively about people behind their backs? Do you make snide remarks to people or use sarcasm to keep them at arm's length? Are your words designed to subtly get your way, to manipulate and maneuver in your world so that you get what you want, to outsmart others with your words and to giving you what you want? Are your words designed to make others feel sorry for you? Are you continuously fishing for approval or for pity? Or Are your words carefully chosen instruments to bring joy to others and glory to God? Are your words carefully chosen from a tongue that is sharpened like a weapon for good? Do your words heal? Are they saturated with love? Do you find yourself speaking the word of God often? And are your words pure and wholesome and praiseworthy, coming from a heart that is filled with worship for God? Your words are an accurate thermometer to measure the temperature of your heart. Why don't you look at one more verse with me? It's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, which says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Whatever we do with our tongue, we're going to eat the fruit of that. You reap what you sow in this life, and we are sowing many, many, many words, and we reap the consequences of those words. And the tongue has the power over life and death, according to Scripture. It's incredible to me how we require people to have a license to drive because we understand the power of that motor vehicle and the damage that it can do. And you know, there's discussion going on about what we need to do for people who purchase guns, what kind of licenses or registration should we have for them, because we understand the power of the gun to do damage. But nobody has a license for their tongue. And maybe there should be a license for your tongue and registration before you're able to use that thing, because it is dangerous and it is devastating. And some of us are still in the learner permit stage and we need to grow up. We need to allow God to have control of that part of our body that has such powerful influence and such amazing capacity for good in the lives of our family and our friends and those around us, to unleash the power of God in their lives just through the words that come from our mouth. But we need to be so careful, because some of us have a gift with words that we've turned in the other direction. There is a battle taking place today over your tongue, over the words that you are producing, over the things that you are saying and communicating and writing that others are receiving. Who is winning that battle? I pray that God is the Lord over your tongue. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the words that you give us in Scripture. Father, we recognize that these words that we have from you are very powerful to shape our life, to change us completely from the inside out. That this Bible has the words of the gospel, the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done, and these words, your words, have the power for us to believe in you for all eternity, to live forever. We thank you for the power of your words. But help us, Lord, to recognize that our words have power and impact as well. Teach us, Lord, as your children, to reflect your image in the area of our words. Father, may the words that we speak be words that would help others and lift them up and encourage them. And Lord, may our words reflect your words. May they bring help and not hurt. May they bring salvation to others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I invite you, as the Lord has spoken to you today, to first of all be challenged and convicted. Because if you, even in the last week, have said words to another person that have been hurtful and have destroyed them, there's time to go back and to say, "I'm sorry," and to bring healing in that same situation. But make a covenant between yourself and God that, "Lord, I am your child and I'm going to win this battle." And fill your mind and your heart with his word, and then go out into this world as an agent of good, using this powerful tongue of yours to do his will and his purpose.